everyone. Welcome back to Relax with Animal Facts. I am Steph Wolf, and today I am going to be learning with you about our furry, scaly, or possibly even slimy friends. And in today's case, it is definitely going to be a furry or perhaps a hairy friend of ours, because we are covering the oh-so-wonderful Bornean orangutan. This, of course, is a very special listener episode dedicated to every single one of you listening. The orangutan was the first ever episode of the show. I just recently mustered up the courage, as I said on Instagram, to watch the earliest episodes of the show. I talked way too fast. I heard one too many smoke alarm beeps in the background, and so I thought it would be good for us to cover the orangutan again, except to be more specific. There is more than one orangutan species, and so this is a Relax with Animal Facts first. This is definitely not the only animal that I would like to cover again or in more detail or specificity, but I think it only right to begin with the first animal we ever learned about together. I also would like to mention that I could barely stand more than 2 minutes of it. Don't you dare go listen to the first orangutan episode. I forbid you. It is a testament to how far the show has gone, but I just can't hide from the embarrassment of it. But let's move on. If you would like to help support the show, you can go to patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts. For your generosity, you get access to so many exclusive episodes that you could be listening to right now. And you get one exclusive episode every single week, ongoing. So help support the show's mission, and you can get a lot out of it. A huge shout out to George Vlad for the ambiances used in today's episode. His work is linked in the description, and you should check him out. And now, let us begin to wind down a little bit. If this is your first episode, I welcome you to the Animal Podcast family with open arms. I am so happy that you're here, that you've taken the time out of your busy schedule to go on an adventure with me. And if you are returning, I extend that very same gratitude, but you know exactly what I am going to be asking of you. I have 3 primary exhortations for you. The first is that you put on a pair of versatile hiking shoes. We are certainly going to be needing those for where we are going today. My second encouragement is perhaps the most important. It is to realize perhaps where you are carrying some tension and to do your best to just let it go. It can be pretty challenging to relax with some animal facts when you are stiff as a board. If you are not sure where you carry tension, which is entirely possible, you can do a kind of full body scan. So you can start in your mind from the bottom of your feet, then up through the shins, the calves, the quadriceps, and the hamstrings, going up and up. This is a surefire way of both learning where you carry tension and releasing it effectively. We aim here on the podcast to become jello. You can choose a flavor or color that you'd like and just do your best Oscar award-winning impersonation of it. I am talking about the kind of performance that, when Leonardo DiCaprio finally gets an Oscar for something, that you just storm up and snatch it away because of your Jell-O impression. My third and final exhortation to you is to give your mind permission to wander and journey with me into a jungle in Borneo where the Bornean orangutan resides. I have to admit that this is a part of the world that could be my favorite. The soundscape in this part of the world is remarkable. It is an orchestra seemingly of thousands of actors. You have all of the instruments, strings, wind, percussion, even the trees are joining in. It is the sort of orchestra that you can't pay for. Well, I guess except for paying for a plane ticket or going on this adventure with me. But of course, our adventure is free, which makes it all the more sweet. We are covering the wonderful Bornean orangutan, an animal that is my favorite in all of the animal kingdom. One thing that was a huge hurdle for me to get over was my excitement for animals could cause me to speak faster. This is especially evident by the nearly incoherent ramblings of my first episode. And so I will do my very best to restrain myself to some degree, but I can't promise anything. Orangutans can be found in the Indonesian island of Sumatra, as well as in Malaysia and Indonesian Borneo. These are highly arboreal, meaning tree-dwelling creatures, living at all levels of the forest, from the ground to the canopy. The habitats range from swamp woods near sea level to mountainous forests over a mile above sea level. These animals have that long, characteristic, sparse orange or reddish hair that is mostly unequally distributed across their body, something that I think adds to their charm. They have concave faces, big jaws, and flattened noses. These animals are the largest arboreal mammals, taking the gold medal. Their body proportions are significant because they are related to their arboreal nature. Their arms are significantly longer than their legs, making them ideally adapted to living in the trees. They have grabbing hands and feet with long curled fingers and toes. These all have a remarkable strength, something that is of course needed to sustain such large creatures in the trees. They also have unique fingerprints just like us, and unlike some other primates, they have no visible external tail. Looking around this greenery, we can tell the difference between male and female orangutans by their appearance. Males and females both have these flabby neck sacs, which grow extremely huge in some adult males. Those same adult males have deeper chests and significantly longer body hair than females. It is only the males, however, that can acquire those gigantic cheek pads, those that make them characteristically look like satellites or something. If you don't know, there is a Relax with Animal Facts YouTube channel, and the, so far, only one video that I have made is on that very topic. What is up with their cheek pads? And so I am going to cover that pretty complex and amazing topic a little later. Let's go over some other things first. Due to their body proportions, walking on the ground is not their favorite thing to do. One of my favorite shows ever, Orangutan Jungle School, can show this well. A lot of young orangutans you can see do some funny waddle when they are on the ground. They really become in their element once they have something to swing from. It is adorable for us to look at, but as far as predators are concerned, it is a convenient thing for them to be out of the tree. It may seem extremely cute to us, which it is, but their clumsiness on land can be a problem for any sort of predatory species. But granted, for them, they don't have a lot of natural predators, besides humans, of course, so this clumsy walking doesn't affect them too much. This doesn't stop them from traveling on the ground for extended distances, though, as they sometimes have to, depending on what kind of trees and branches are around. When they do walk on the ground, they use all four limbs, supporting themselves with clenched fists, or occasionally walking upright on two legs. That is more of a rarity to see, though. Now, it is worth mentioning that while we are covering the Bornean orangutan, there is also the Sumatran orangutan, which I say deserves its own episode. It's an orangutan, come on. It can actually be a bit difficult for us to distinguish between the Bornean and Sumatran orangutans. In general, the Sumatrans are often lighter in color, have longer body hair, and have less pendulous throat sacs than the Borneans do. But the only extremely reliable way of distinguishing the two species is by examining their chromosomal data. Wild adult male Bornean orangutans can weigh from between 170 to 220 pounds on average. That's around 77 to 100 kilograms. As is often the case, the wild adult females are going to weigh a bit less, around 80 to 120 pounds, around 36 to 54 kilos. Admittedly, I had to fact check this. When I think of an adult male orangutan with those huge cheek pads, I don't think of a creature that is maximally 220 pounds. And a good reason why my skepticism reared its head is because these animals in zoos are often 50 to 100 pounds heavier. This is both because they are constantly fed and are a little bit less active in captivity. Bornean orangutans, at least the male ones, have a median life expectancy of 27 years. The reason that I specify male Bornean orangutans is because there is actually little data on the life expectancy of females. If any of you are aspiring orangutan researchers Please fill me in when they find out. During the daytime, orangutans spend the majority of their foraging time eating fruits when they are available, eating also insects and flowers, maybe even some inner bark, leaves, and other plants. Orangutans have also been recorded to eat mineral-rich soil, bird eggs, and on occasion, tiny mammals like rats and slow lorises. That is almost unbelievable. Definitely a fact I could not have guessed. In terms of water, they get it from a variety of sources, including tree holes and wet leaves during the rainy season. When water is difficult to obtain, orangutans chew leaves to form a pulpy sponge to absorb the water, a kind of tool usage. They have also been seen to modify little sticks to hold in their lips while investigating tree trunks. They can be looking for little insects or honey, and these are only some of the very creative behaviors of the orangutan. Now, this is pretty exciting because this information only came to light this month in May of 2024. And while it is covering the Sumatran orangutan, the similarities between the Bornean and the Sumatran are significant enough for us to read this now. Scientists observed the Sumatran orangutan named Rhacus or Rhacus pluck and chew up leaves of a medicinal plant before using his fingers to apply the plant juices to an injury that he had on his right cheek. This plant has been used by peoples throughout Southeast Asia to treat pain and inflammation. And so this article reads, "Orangutan seen treating wound with medicinal plant in world first." Sometimes different groups of animals will form different behaviors, almost cultures in a sense. Now, of course, these findings are somewhat controversial in terms of their interpretation. Whether or not Rhacus knew that this plant was going to heal him, whether it just felt good on his skin, but regardless of where you lie on that, it is still a remarkable behavior to behold. Could this be the first orangutan doctor? Who knows? In the wild, orangutans live in semi-solitary groups. While they are the most reclusive of the great apes, it should be emphasized that they are highly gregarious animals. They demonstrate social tolerance during periods of high fruit abundance when they gather in aggregations known as parties. I couldn't have named a group of orangutans better. It is not a group, it is not a herd, it is a party. Adult females move across the forest floor with their dependent young, who are dependent on their mothers for a very long time. That is particularly why orphaned orangutans are such a problem. They learn everything by example, by observation, and so without that guidance, they have no chance in the wild. Adult males have vast home ranges that will overlap with those of many females. Males oftentimes roam alone unless they mate with females, in which case they can develop solid consortships that can continue for weeks. In general, because they are more solitary than other great apes, they have a less complex vocal repertoire than some of the more social primates. They are very nonverbal communicators. They will use a range of facial expressions and body language to get their message across most of the time. When they are agitated in particular, they use a kiss-squeak sound or belching vocalizations, as well as a loud, deep, lengthy call, which is generally used by males for long-distance communication. That last form of communication is particularly relevant to the flangeed males, that is, those males that have those wide cheek pads. These extended calls resonates in the male's larger throat sac, traveling through the forest. It is used to alert and locate females to the male's presence, as well as dispersing a sort of warning. It is so loud that it can be heard up to a kilometer away, more than a half mile. So let's talk about those cheek pads. What are they? Where do they come from? How do they come about? It is a kind of mystery, and even after researching it a good bunch, there remains some mysterious aspects to it. First and foremost, these padded cheeks are nothing more than accumulations of fibrous fatty tissue, and it is only mature male orangutans that are even capable of developing these flaps in the first place. But not all mature males have the phalanges or the flaps. So, of course, the question is, why do some mature males get these flaps and the huge throat sacs while others don't? One really important thing is testosterone. It plays perhaps the most vital role in the formation of the flaps or phalanges and the neck sac. It is as male orangutans mature that their systems are overwhelmed with testosterone, but the amount of increase they receive is not the same. Those who receive a significant boost in testosterone appear to acquire those awesome phalanges and throat sacs by the time they reach adulthood, which is pretty late. About 18 to 20 years of age. It is those Bornean orangutan males that do not receive a large amount of testosterone that never develop the flaps in the first place. The most important bit of mystery here is that we actually do not know why some release such large amounts and others do not. There have been a few suggestions from animal researchers, but it isn't as solid as we'd hope. It doesn't seem to be a strictly genetic thing, so we have to look at other possible influences. First, testosterone levels in male orangutans rise in response to reproductive rivalry, that is, when there are multiple males and when mature females are present. The dominant males, the higher-ranking males in the social order, express more testosterone than the lower-ranking ones. So it doesn't seem to be the case that it is the animals with the flaps that become dominant, but rather on its head. It is those who are dominant that develop the flaps. And one fact that is really cool is that a phalanged dominant male just being there can and frequently does stop the maturation process of unphalanged orangutans. I think it would be a bit more precise to say it impedes the maturation process, as they still get testosterone, just not as much. It has been demonstrated that female orangutans generally prefer flanged males. This could be due to the fact that they have higher testosterone and therefore higher reproductive success. Also, flanges, when combined with the throat patch, operate as amplifiers for their long calls, something that we covered just earlier. For any other information, I'd recommend you check out that YouTube video. I believe it is called Orangutan Phalanges Explained in 4 Minutes. But just looking at those mature male orangutans is cause for wonder. Look at all the other great apes. The orangutan looks so different. First of all, it's orange. Second of all, it has a face that looks like it gets some kind of satellite connection. The flaps give them such a characteristic appearance and is definitely one of the reasons they are my favorite animal, period. In terms of reproduction, a female will have a baby orangutan every 7 to 9 years, for a total of 4 to 5 babies in her lifetime. In Bornean orangutans, the interbirth gap is slightly shorter, and experts are still investigating why this is the case. Again, if there are any orangutan researchers out there, let me know when you find out. And now, let us move on to the name portion of the episode. What does it mean, or where does it come from? I'm actually unsure if we even did etymologies the first go-around. Perhaps we did, but I couldn't listen to my own episode until the end. But the word orangutan has been in usage since the 1690s, at least in the way that we use it. And it means literally, man of the woods. This comes from the Malay language. And it is possible that the word was originally used by town dwellers on Java to describe forest tribes of the Sunda Islands. And this somewhat pejorative word was then used by Europeans to mean the ape. Now, in the more modern iterations of the Malay language, the word orangutan is applied to the animal. But there is evidence that in the 17th century, this word was used by the Malay people to describe other forest tribes. That is super cool. And now, let me just tell you the dad joke. Check this out. What is an orangutan's favorite store? Banana Republic. Boom. That joke is a little bit more endearing than it is fear-inducing, but I still like it. And now to your Spotify responses. On the last episode, I asked you guys, what animal do you think is the most misunderstood, and what do people often get wrong about it? Lindsay opened up saying, the raven. I think they are seen as evil because of literature. I think they are smart and beautiful. The raven is a great example, and I think that for the most part, you're right. I think in a lot of traditions and writings that ravens and crows, any really black bird, could have been seen as a bad omen, a message of something bad to come. It would actually be a really cool study to learn about how the raven was portrayed in literature all around the world. But as you said, they are smart and beautiful. They are the puzzle solvers of the animal kingdom, as far as I'm concerned. Lottie Don wrote, "Sharks, no doubt. They are an apex predator of the sea, but they actually don't like the taste of humans. I think I learned in one of your episodes that they bite to feel. They can be friendly to humans." That is also a great one. Sharks are remarkably curious creatures. It is just unfortunate to us that a manifestation of their curiosity is to bite on stuff to find out what it is. That can be okay for a coral reef, perhaps, but for a soft human leg, probably not the best thing. We have covered sharks on the show, and they are without doubt awesome. UFO Manatee, great name by the way, said, "Rabbits are misunderstood. People claim they are boring pets and too fragile. They're only boring if you don't give them the ability to shine. They're amazing, fun-loving angels." I don't know much about rabbit care, but UFO Manatee, with a name like that, you are assuredly the authority on this subject. I find that oftentimes when people complain about the quality of a pet, it tends to sort of be their fault. Animals can respond to how they're treated, of course. And I would suppose that rabbits are the same way. On the last Instagram post, I asked you guys, if you wanted an episode redone, which episode would you choose? Scarlet Rink said, "The very first one." Well, now you got what you asked for. It is worth mentioning that I responded to Scarlet with just "gross." This was after I had listened to my very own first episode. But now I'm glad that we have sort of redone it. AmySue22 said, "I wouldn't change any episode because they're all excellent and it's really cool seeing how the show has changed over the years. But it would be fun to have any episode be featured again as an encore presentation. I would love to hear the gorilla episode again without having to scroll so far down to find it." Very kind words, Amy, and I agree with you. It would definitely be fun to do another gorilla episode. In fact, why don't we do a gorilla episode twice a week, every week? As a matter of fact, why don't we just change the name of the podcast to Relax with Gorilla Facts? I love primates too much, and I sometimes have to rein myself in. The last bit of communication with you guys comes from Apple Podcasts, where FZFFY wrote all the way from the United States of America, saying, "I'm so glad you decided not to have commercials. Your show is terrific. You are getting better and better. You're becoming quite a comedian. I love your podcast and can't say enough good things about it. I've been listening to you since you started. Have you covered cicadas yet? If not, they might be fun animals to discover." Thank you, FZFFY. You are an OG or an original listener. I wonder which of you out there was part of the first 13 downloads I remember seeing on the show. I remember being so giddy and excited that people actually somehow found the podcast and listened to it. Cicadas are also a great animal suggestion, and I encourage you to send it through the website too. Responding to the Instagram posts or the Q&As on Spotify, or leaving a review is a great way for me to kind of know what's going on. I love to maintain an open form of communication with you guys because it's your show and I want to make it as enjoyable as possible. If you would like to request an animal, you can do so by going to relaxwithanimalfacts.com and clicking on the Submit and Animal Request tabs. To reach out to me, Steph Wolf, or any other reason, you can do so by going to the Instagram Relax with Animal Facts, or you can send me an email to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com. To help support the show's mission while getting more of it, head over to patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts. For $1 a month and no obligation free trial, you can get access to all sorts of stuff while supporting the show that you love. A huge shout out to George Vlad for the ambiances in today's episode. His work is linked in the description and you should check him out. The facts used in today's episode came from nationalzoo.si.edu and SeaWorld, interestingly enough, .org. Also, I have left a link in the description to a charity, orangutan.org. They are an organization that is dedicated to helping Bornean and other orangutans. They seem to be a great organization, and so if you want to donate to a good cause, you can do it there. What an amazing animal we have learned about today. I'm sorry, but you're not actually allowed to dislike this episode. That is because the orangutan is too awesome to warrant your dislike. I am so glad that we got to learn about them one more time, but with some very new information and with more specificity. So follow the show, share it with a friend if you enjoy it, and I so look forward to our next adventure together with the next animal. Take care.